It's time for What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Taking time out of your busy week to come and open the BFM 50th anniversary party. Thank you very much for that, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
It was a real treat. Thanks for having me.
It was cool, wasn't it?
It was cool.
Shame you couldn't stick around. Shame you had that baby. Had to go home to the baby, eh? Stick around for the big party with everybody.
Hey, Friday night, and I probably abandoned Clark for long enough.
Let's get on to what's going on. There's a lot going on, isn't there, at the moment? You've got the tax working group's recommendations coming out tomorrow. You're talking yesterday about a tax on some of the big nasties, the Facebook, Facebook, the Uber, the Google. What are some of the other ones that are sort of?
I tried very hard not to name names.
Okay, but Apple, say, you know, all those ones, all these companies that are making huge amounts of money out of trading with New Zealanders, but are managing to, just because of loopholes in the tax system, or I guess just reroute their money elsewhere, means that they don't pay any tax in New Zealand, so New Zealand doesn't get any benefit from it. And you can change that, can you?
Yeah. I mean, actually, this is a conversation that is happening amongst quite a few economies. The OECD is meeting in June and is hoping at that point to develop really, I guess, a global solution. But even if they do that, and there's a bit of a if over that, that could still take 3 to 4 years to implement. And in the meantime, the others are putting in place interim measures. Australia's consulting at the moment on their own form of digital services taxation. And so really, this is about us keeping pace with what's happening. And it's about fairness. So you're right, our tax system hasn't moved with the fact that there are these digital service platforms now, and we're looking for a way to just make sure people pay their fair share, because New Zealanders do.
Aren't these companies, though, isn't the part of the point, part of their business model is to be able to avoid tax? So how are they, well, won't they just find another way to avoid being taxed by all the relevant countries?
And that's why there has been a bit of debate over the different models that you would use. But what we've proposed is a pretty simple version that others have looked at as well.
2 to 3%?
Which is on turnover. And so that's why it's at a lower rate than what you see our tax rates at. So it's 2 to 3% on turnover. And that's a simple way of implementing a tax like this.
Is the admin of actually keeping on top of all that and imposing it going to take up that what you make of it?
Some commentators, without naming names, have conflated the fact that we last budget put extra money into tax.
Larry Williams, Mike Hosking. just saying a couple that pop into my mind. I've listened to crap on about
money
it lately.
Into collection, because you know there are some who structure their finances in a way to avoid taxation, and it's just simply not fair. We did that last year to make sure that our system was operating properly and as it should. This tax estimated to bring about between 30 and 80 million in, but I've heard absolutely no suggestion that the collection of it will cost more than that.
What's the vibe from some of those big corporations? It's a small enough amount, isn't it? That's not going to kill them. They're making a flabbergasting amount of profit at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, and you know, you certainly hear a number of them say we follow the laws of the land. You know,
well, I guess it makes
the
sense.
The fact that we don't have a tax rule here that really captures them properly.
I guess it makes the ride a little bit smoother, doesn't it? On a day to day basis. Let's talk about the China. Yay! It must be so much fun. I bet you'd have a dry swallow every time everyone mentions it.
Foreign affairs is actually the side of the job that it does take up quite a bit of time. It's a part of the job I didn't anticipate quite much time and energy that you put into it, but it is an important part of our...
China, our biggest trading partner.
Yeah, it is our biggest trading partner, second largest when it comes now to tourism numbers outside of Australia as well. But actually on those measures, Mikey, the goods exports have gone up 20%. people-to-people exchange in the last year, 8%. We've checked at the border whether or not we're having issues, and of course from time to time you might get your consignment stopped because, you know, we trade, you know, billions of dollars worth of goods. And last year we had 0.26% of our consignments stopped. It's now 0.29, so nothing really statistically significant. So there's lots of measures for the health of our relationship, and, you know, we'll hit the odd complexity from time to time, but that happens, and not just with us. You know, the United States have tariffs on our steel and aluminium at the moment, and that's a problem too. So
I mean,
have these issues.
This is all as a result at the moment, anyway, of the Huawei technology being whether it's been permitted to be allowed into the rollout of our 5G network.
Yeah, 5G network.
Based on what was on the restrictions that the UK put on it. The UK have just suddenly release those restrictions, and British intelligence reckon that they'll be able to keep an eye on any security concerns they have. Now, Britain are part of the Five Eyes. We're part of the Five Eyes. Is our decision to be wary of Huawei, is that based on a Five Eyes sort of collective idea? And if so, does that mean that we're just going to follow the UK now, or are we genuinely concerned? Or third option, do we just let them do it and then sort of spy on them spying on us?
Well, I think probably the first point we need to make that we have a totally independent foreign policy, and we make our own national security assessments, and so that's an independent process for us too. Of course, yes, we are part of a wider intelligence community, but we make our own decisions. And so just to give you a bit of the context of what's happened with the 5G assessment. So basically we have a piece of legislation that says, look, if you're going to have a significant change in the telco sector that would require a security assessment, it goes through a process with the GCSB. We've had over 100 of those, so that process works really well for us. On this application, which came from Spark, GCSB, because it happens separately to us, it's not a politicised process, they take care of it. GCSB went back to Spark.
Yeah, until it gets to you, though.
There are some secure... Yeah. But for now, it's totally with them. So there are some security concerns that you need to mitigate. And that's where the process is at the moment. So it's with Spark. They've said there's some concerns, and that's where it's at. Over in the UK, what's happening there is quite different. They don't have legislation like we do, which I think probably I'd say is a pretty top-notch approach. Instead, they have an oversight group that involves Huawei, looking at some of the security issues over there. They're looking to release a report, but it is only one part of the wider analysis that the UK is undertaking at the moment. So that process for them hasn't been completed. So we're still in the middle of a process over in the UK. So some of the reporting hasn't quite been accurate on that front.
Speaking of inaccurate reporting, what about the news that suddenly tourism numbers are down, dramatically plummeting, and students have stopped enrolling at schools in the affluent parts of New Zealand? Surely that's all just that's Chinese political spin, isn't it?
Well, there is some explanation for that. Back in 2016, we started, started to see a bit of a dip away in some of those student numbers. And off the back of China's change in their education system, so it's changed the international market with the number of international schools and the quality of their domestic education system. And so I'm advised that there's been a bit of a warning for a couple of years that there'd be a falling away of numbers here, and that's happened. But we still see good, solid numbers in tertiary, for instance. So it's not universal and across the board.
And the tourism thing you're not worried about because it sort of sounds a little bit too convenient time-wise?
Yeah, well, look, the one thing we have to keep in mind at the moment as well is that there's also, there's some softening and suggestion of some softening in the global economies, well, particularly in China. There's a bit of a talk of there being a bit of softening there, so people will take that into account right. when they travel as well. But no, at the moment, as I say, last year 8% growth. It's a pretty solid market. We might see some changes, but you can't always equate that to our relationship.
All right. Hey, and finally, I wanted to talk about. I only just found out about this myself. The your government has been. Very progressive, whereas the last government certainly dragged the chain on the Pike River inquiry and the idea of finding out just exactly what happened there and going over some of the reports that maybe things that have been missed after the event sort of thing. It turns out that there are concerns about the chain of evidence gathered by police at the time and some potentially vital evidence as to who's responsible and what actually happened at the mine in that terrible explosion where those men lost their lives has just disappeared. And we've had this problem in the past with the police in New Zealand, and it's not a good look, and it requires further investigation itself, doesn't it?
Well, it's certainly, I've seen the reports, Mikey. I haven't had a formal briefing, so it's hard for me to say anything definitive over what's happened to that chain of evidence and whether or not it's fair necessarily for that to fall on police or other, given there was a number, obviously, this involves a number of different agencies and parties, not least the company itself. So I've seen the reports that, you know, we'll do everything we can to determine what has happened there, because ultimately the re-entry into the drift is about trying to determine a little bit more information about what has happened here. So we otherwise continue on earnest with that re-entry plan.
Yeah, the idea of cameras that we used to film to film the operation disappearing and pen drives disappearing and specific electrical cabinets that looked like they weren't approved disappearing, it's no good at all, is it?
Yeah, and certainly, yeah.
Allegedly, obviously,
Yeah, allegedly, yeah. But as I say, we continue on with our plans with re-entry.
Get some sort of closure there would be amazing, wouldn't it, at some stage? All right, hey, thank you, Prime Minister. Thanks again for being part of our celebrations on Friday night. We'll speak to you again in a fortnight's time.
Awesome. Talk soon.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
That was What's Up with Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.